Welcome, animation fans of all ages, to episode 58 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where tonight's episode will be completely hand-drawn by our crack team of animators here at the Ganzamation Studios. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And tonight we'll be discussing some sci-fi facets of the ever-expanding animation empire that is Disney. But before we get to that, let's start things off in our usual fashion with our Geekly Weekly Roundup. Brian, what have you been up to since last we spoke?
Congratulations, by the way, for getting the name right for the first time ever.
Is it Geekly Weekly?
I can't remember now.
You jinxed me, damn it! I'll never be able to do it again.
I had a fun weekend. I did the much less popular cousin, I suppose, to Free Comic Book Day. I did Free RPG Day. That was pretty fun. Not nearly as big a thing, but still, if you're into it, it was good. I got a Star Wars Edge of the Empire module that was a little bit of a cock tease because on the back of it, it said includes official rules for Sabacc. And I was really excited to learn how to play. And then I read through it and it was like, if you roll one success, you win the pot. But if you, it was like rolling in-game role-playing Sabacc, not actually card deck Sabacc. So that was a letdown. I got a module, like a starter module, like the Star Wars things we were playing for Shadowrun and Battletech.
Those were the two I wanted.
It was a neat little flip book, so it was only one choice, which kind of pleased me, because then I was also able to squeeze in a vampire game. So should we ever play again at GXE or AGS, we can play Shadowrun, Vampire, or Battletech now. Kind of happy with that. I also got an email. Tom, you got yours ages ago, but apparently I ordered the incredibly rare, difficult-to-manufacture dragon to go with my vampire pledge, and it was like delayed for 6 months. My vampire pledge and my dragon have finally shipped.
For the Reaper Bones line of miniatures.
Very excited about that.
Cool.
And lastly, I found, again, through the Amazon free app of the day for Android, I found this really cool, what do they call it? Rogue-like game, where it's just a graphic crawling through a hex maze, unlocking more and more as you go.
Yeah, roguelike, yep.
Roguelike. Based on HeroQuest, like very similar to HeroQuest, the board game from long ago.
I'm familiar. Yeah, interesting.
That is called Mighty Dungeons. And even if you can't get it for free, I kind of recommend it. It's a lot of fun.
Worth a couple of bucks.
Definitely worth free.
Now, this app of the day thing, is this something you kind of keep an eye on Amazon? And
yeah, I have a boring routine. There's a red light on my way to work that is probably 10 minutes if I miss it, just because of the amount of traffic going through a relatively short light. So I will sit at that red light and check my email and check my free app of the day.
It's a, I don't know, as routines go, that's a pretty cool way to fill in some dead time at a light, I would say.
It beats leaping out of the car and punching the asshole in front of me for not going.
Yeah, that doesn't end well. That's my typical response. Cool, man. Does that conclude your update, sir?
It does, sir.
Ricky Ricardo, you are up next.
I had a traveling week. I had to do some family crap up in North Carolina. One of my nieces was graduating. So while I was away from the homestead of South Florida, I decided I would venture out and try to find some cool comic book stores or toy stores. And I had a little bit of luck. I didn't have much time, but I found one cool place called Cro-Mag Toys. And it was basically just all vintage toy stuff. Wasn't real big, but they had a lot of cool stuff. If I didn't already have such a gigantic collection, I probably would have walked home completely broke, or came home completely broke, so that was pretty cool. Oddly enough, in this same plaza where this Cro-Mag Toys was, in Raleigh, North Carolina, Royal Bakery Building, there also, on the other side of the plaza, happened to be a tabletop gaming store, and the two stores weren't related.
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow, just like a natural ecosystem.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was closed while we were there. Wasn't going to open for a couple more hours, and sadly, I wasn't able to make it back. But peering through the window, I could see that they sold pretty much all the same goodies that they sell here at Tate's and GXE and Cool Stuff and all of our other places around here. But it would have been neat to be able to hang out and talk to some other nerds for the day. But overall, it was a pretty good trip. A couple miles away from my sister's house, so next time I go up there and visit, boom, I'm going to have to bring some Star Wars figures and go raise some holy hell.
Cool, man. Just goes to show you can find a geeky niche wherever you go.
Yes. They also had a nice Wi-Fi cafe there, a killer Mediterranean food spot, all kinds of good shit.
If you said the name of the place that was closed, I missed it.
No, I didn't. I don't know what the name of it was. There was no signage or anything, just a we're closed, we'll open at 1 in the afternoon or 12 or whatever it was. And I asked the guy at the toy store, and he kind of didn't even know what I was talking about, which I thought was so weird because it was a tiny, tiny little plaza. I could literally pee on one door from the other if I had to. And they had no idea what the other one was all about. So really niche-y, or maybe it was clicky. I don't know, but it was interesting that they didn't know who the other one was. But Kermeg Toys, Raleigh, North Carolina. Go buy some cool Star Wars.
And then pop over to Anonymous NPC Games.
Yes. That was about it, really.
Cool, bro. Guess it's my turn. I have been up to a lot, actually. I've been, doing all kinds of stuff. I saw 3 movies. I saw Oblivion, starring Tom Cruise. I saw After Earth, starring Will Smith and his son.
Ugh.
You know, I could see where there was some criticism for that movie, but one of the reasons people have been giving it crap, I think, is not legitimate. The man whose technique for, like, fighting aliens involves, like, completely suppressing his emotions so they can't detect him is not acting like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, so people don't like that. Like, that's not the Will Smith I like. Apparently, the man's not allowed to have any range besides being a 19-year-old, like, basketball street kid.
So we're safe from a Welcome to Earth Will Smith?
I've said this multiple times. Will Smith has grown in my esteem as he has taken on more serious roles. And yeah, we're far removed from the smack-talking F-18 pilot from Independence Day at this point, I'm happy to say. Anyway, I don't know. The movie didn't get the greatest reviews for some reasons, but I liked it. I found good in it. Thought it was decent. And of course, I saw Man of Steel, the big blockbuster Superman movie, which I can only say good things about. I really enjoyed that, and I recommend it. I also took a recommendation from the proprietor of the Phoenix Comics and Games Store nearby my place here in Seattle. They turned me on to X-Men #1, which was released under the Marvel Now banner, which is kind of like a reboot or a restart of a lot of existing Marvel franchises. I got X-Men #1, which is unique because it features an all-female cast. So I recommend you give that a read for a different take on things. So far, it's been pretty good. And I am not enough of a comics expert to understand the impact of the principal people involved, but apparently it's quite an all-star cast of people creating the book. So I give that my recommendation as well.
And that's a new book?
Yep. Yep, just came out. Highly recommend. Also been playing a little, some video games, continuing my Mass Effect quest. I almost quit. I almost ended that when I got up to a boss, some matriarch or arch-matriarch or arch-mage-matriarch or something, who completely just mopped the floor with my party like 20 times in a row.
Yikes.
Yeah, so I left. I just left and went and did other quests and stuff, and I'll go back and deal with her later when I'm in more of a mood. So, Mass Effect presenting a challenge early on. Also got Animal Crossing New Leaf and have been playing that extensively. Can't say enough good about that. This is my first real experience with Animal Crossing. I know you're a fan, Rick.
Huge.
I really would like you to get on board with this. And Brian, I don't know if it has ever interested you, but it is really cool. Recommend some Animal Crossing. And oh, finally, I fired up my Wii U. Fired up my Wii U basically so I could use Netflix to watch videos in preparation for tonight's show. But hey, I fired up the Wii U, and I think that
totally
counts. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, can you watch him in bed on the tablet part?
Actually, you can. You can swap back and forth between the TV screen and the tablet, so it's actually really cool.
Cool.
In that regard, you're subject to, I guess, whatever the limits are of the Wii's streaming range, but as long as you're close enough, yeah, no problem. Nice. And it does, it's got a really nice picture on that screen too. So I did, I swapped back and forth, and you can use the analog stick on the controller to like fast forward and, you know, to go back and forth. It's actually really a really nice interface. Probably one of the best uses I found for the Wii U so far. Which brings us to tonight's topic. One of the shows that I was watching on Netflix was Disney's Tron Uprising, shining example of Disney sci-fi and adaptation of a big film franchise to animation. And one of the motivations for tonight's topic, which is about, let's say, the application of Disney fairy dust to sci-fi, or the folding in of sci-fi properties into the Disney family. So we could look at that a couple of different ways. Disney is making one acquisition after another. We all know, we all went crazy about the Star Wars acquisition. So it'll make for an interesting conversation tonight to discuss what sort of sci-fi and Star Wars related animated features there are out there now, and what the now folding in to Disney might portend for those. So without further ado, I thought we would kick things off by doing our best to recollect something, a series that never sat well with me. And it was from the Star Wars franchise before Disney acquired it. And that would be the Clone Wars. yeah. The Clone Wars computer animated series. I'll confess right up front, I only watched so much of it, and I've caught an episode here or there. They kind of lost me in the first season. I'm pretty sure for the same reason they lost both of you guys.
Yeah.
Brian, well,
before you get into it, I just state my hatred started with the movie.
Okay, yeah. They did sort of kick things off with a theatrically released movie.
Yes.
Where they were trying to find Jabba's son, that's right. Didn't we all go see that together in the theater?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
What a horrific mistake that was.
Well, it was Star Wars, right? Right,
right, right, right.
It came on the heels of the excellent hand-drawn Clone Wars series that took place between the second and third movies.
Which, we start talking about Tron, we will bring that up again, because that was a fantastical adaptation of the Star Wars.
'Twas indeed. Brian, I don't want to speak for you. Are you, in fact, actually a closet fan of the Clone Wars movie and computer animated series?
I am so not a fan, and I'm not even exaggerating. I have completely blocked the movie from my memory. I have no memory of seeing that movie.
That's great. Good. I'm glad.
Well, for those who didn't see it, it was basically there was a Jabba the Hutt, and then there was a baby Jabba the Hutt, and then there was a really flamboyant Jabba the Hutt, and we called that one Capote the Hutt because he spoke a lot like Truman Capote Jr. And he wore Hawaiian shirts, and it was horrific. Horrific!
Yeah, it was just awful. And the Star Wars heroes were setting about. They had to find Jabba's lost son. And the Truman Capote the Hutt, I remember. The only thing that stands out to me is they interrogated him as to the whereabouts of the little hutlet. And his protest was, I love that little hut.
Love that little hut. I would never lay a finger on that little hut.
Exactly.
God, it was horrific.
It was god-awful. And really set the tone for what was to come, I think, with the Clone Wars animated series. Which, Rick, you told me that has won all sorts of awards, and I just
recently, as we're recording, I believe it was yesterday, I think they won a daytime Emmy award for it.
God, I don't get that.
I don't either, because it's not even around anymore, is it?
I think it's still on. I think they're finally going to sunset it, but hopefully it ends with the death of Anakin's little Padawan Ahsoka.
It ends with Order 66.
Yeah, right.
Like, that all the clone troopers save her for last, and then gang up on her and kill her.
I think the thing that really turned me off about the movie, and this is kind of going to be a theme for me throughout the show, is I don't like the treatment of the characters And when I say treatment, I mean the redoing of all the personalities. I mean, we grew up with the Star Wars movies as the Star Wars movies, and there was a certain way about them, much like you expect Lord of the Rings characters to act, talk, and look a certain way. We got the look, even though it was cleaner and 3D-ier, or however you want to say it.
Right.
I mean, it was a change, but it was acceptable. It was livable. We could live with it. But what I couldn't live with is how different the characters spoke to each other, their mannerisms, their...
The Hawaiian shirts,
the stupid nicknames. Come on, Sky Guy. Just like it's too loose, it's too fast and loose and fun. It's not believable.
It doesn't fit with the epic like scale and gravity of the Star Wars movies, you know? And right. I hated Ahsoka the first time she called him Sky Guy. I forever hated that version, that weird square-jawed version of Anakin when he replied by calling her Snips. The show basically lost me almost right away.
Yep.
And the few times I've tuned in where they haven't focused on main characters, where they've showed sort of ancillary characters doing their own thing during the Clone Wars, I've been able to stand it a lot more than when I've seen mainline characters off doing a million and one what are essentially side quests, side missions that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. I hate the side story like explosion that seems to take place with a lot of series, and especially now with Star Wars. Like,
I think that's going to come up again with Tron.
I think it might, Brian.
I sense a disturbance in the Force.
I think your feelings do you credit.
I kind of feel like they took what everybody hated about Jar Jar Binks and injected that into every other character and then made a cartoon about it.
It's basically been like 5 or 6 seasons of just nothing but fan service. Just give the give the lowest common denominator what they want. Bring back Darth Maul. Give him some mechanical legs. Ooh, look, Darth Maul's back. Darth Maul shouldn't be back. He shouldn't be back. He should be gone. He had his role that he played in the main series. I don't need him coming back. I don't need to know how Anakin intervened to stop some cow wranglers on some planet somewhere. You know, it's just, it's crazy. Waters down the story.
And it's crazy how popular it is, man. I mean, kids really liked it, which... that irritates me because I don't think it's a real gateway to actual Star Wars. They're way too different. They're two different entities. And it would be fine if they were calling it Star Wars, Clone Wars, and it involved a bunch of side characters that we didn't know anything about, and they were all brand new and didn't change what we know and love. You know what I mean?
Right. It would be okay if it didn't touch first tier canon, if it didn't touch the main storyline. It would be okay if it was absurd on its face,
mm-hmm.
or like you said, involved non-important players. You know, you might have been a little too old for it, but I'm sure Brian and I are of the same age, so we probably both watched the stupid Ewoks cartoon that came, and the droids cartoon that came out in the 80s.
You're old, Rick.
I know.
I liked those because I was a little kid and they were meant to appeal to little kids, but I never grew up thinking like, oh, well, isn't it canon that like C-3PO and R2 did X, Y, and Z that I saw in the cartoon? No, once I got older, I realized that that was like childish side entertainment, not to be confused with the real Star Wars.
So basically, you've just stated that our entire argument, this whole entire show, is void.
No.
Way to go, Grant.
No. What I'm trying to say is I don't like it when they try to serve two audiences, when they try to basically do a childish treatment of the main story while weaving it into the main story.
Right.
Do what they did with Lego Star Wars and make a goofy, completely non-believable, this never happened, like zany side universe. And I'm fine. I'm totally fine. Don't try to weave that childishness and that zaniness and that appeal to 6-year-olds into the main storyline of Star Wars. And that's the biggest crime that the Clone Wars series has committed in my mind. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. So let's move on to the Lego Star Wars.
Please, let's. Now I'm happy.
Explain what the Lego Star Wars is. Somebody. Like, not exactly what it, but Brian, it was.
Yeah, Brian, you do it.
Do you have a background on it? If not, I can throw it out real quick.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's basically, there was some series of movies that were put out on DVD, and they all tie in with Lego Star Wars video games, apparently. And they are 3D generated, they're all Lego characters, and we watched together as a group, not really knowing what we're in for, the Yoda Chronicles, which is the latest and greatest. The first one, I don't remember the name of it, something about Padawans. The second one was The Empire Strikes Out. That should have been a clue to me as to what I was getting myself into. We have a very big difference of opinion on these Lego Star Wars shows. I could barely watch it. And that's all I'm going to say right now. Somebody else can give their opinions next. Go ahead.
Having the realization that this was just completely not canon, that this was just for fun. Like, for some reason, the games prepped me, I think, because there were movie games, and they were pretty faithful. They, you know, whether I liked them or not, they were faithful to the movies. But when these Lego games came out, you could play Boba Fett, Jedi, droids, and things like that. You could just completely fuck with quote-unquote reality. And it really prepared me for the cartoon series just completely fucking with reality. Like, I really enjoyed it because I knew it wasn't serious. I knew it wasn't trying to be canon. I knew it wasn't trying to push the story.
What about you, Tom?
Brian really summed up what I've been trying to get at here. It's in this alternate universe. It's the Lego universe. This didn't really happen. This is a not serious, goofy, funny what if scenario where Yoda's a freaking school teacher, and when crap hits the fan, his little like preschool kids get in their school bus and go save the day. I mean, that's funny to me. It's just hilarious. And when I'm watching Yoda die on Dagobah, I don't have to think back and like, oh my God, remember that time when he high-fived Mace Windu when they decided to ask Palpatine who the Sith Lord was, because it didn't really happen.
I see. I love the Star Wars movie, or I love the Star Wars Lego games, but this was irritating me. Like, listening to you guys talk about it and thinking back, like, I am giggling, I'm not gonna lie. But first of all, we do have to say, if you are not 6 years old, do not go out of your way to watch this. If, in fact, you partake in a Dagobah Green, then you may want to watch this, because you will probably find it hilarious. I don't hate it the same way I hate Clone Wars, but I would not go out of my way to watch it. I did find a couple things kind of funny, but most of it just irritated the shit out of me.
Come on, R2-D2 spelling out the words Palpatine when Mace Windu and Yoda are puzzling over who the Dark Lord of the Sith is.
You know, once again, R2 was the only non-cheesy character. This is his thing. He's always R2. It's awesome.
R2 fits into any context, yes, as okay. R2.
I didn't really like the Millennium Falcon.
And holy shit, I almost pissed myself laughing.
Me too.
Lando Calrissian being the space pimp, and this was a flying nightclub, the Millennium Falcon.
Dude, Yoda having to get it together for the hologram call or whatever, like, no, not partying, are we?
Yes. Because he's going around drinking like a fruity drink with an umbrella in it, and then they're calling him to ask about serious stuff. All right. How about...
See, certain things like that are funny, but then when it's like 3POC, like, it's so over-the-top ridiculous that I'm like, I can't deal with it.
But it's meant to be. That's the point.
I know.
All right. I'll point out another one. When Emperor/Chancellor Palpatine is like on the phone on like the video Skype call with General Grievous, Yoda calls him, and he's going back and forth on hold. And as he's going back and forth on hold, he's pulling his hood up and down depending on what role he's playing.
And his face was spinning, Palpatine to the Emperor is back and forth.
Yeah, it was funny as shit, man.
I loved when the kids, like the magic school bus, was rushing to the rescue, and 3PO gets like serious for a second. R2 is in danger. I can sense it. I didn't know you were force sensitive. I'm not. I have Wi-Fi.
Yes. See, I hated that. But dude, okay. I love when Robot Chicken does it. But this,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
just bugged the shit out of me, man. I think I went into it with way different expectations, and it just threw me for a loop. Because I'm laughing along with you guys, because some of the stuff is dopey funny.
It is dopey Robot Chicken-esque funny, the whole thing, I think. And yet, if you approach it in any way expecting serious Star Wars, you will leave disappointed, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, one final comment I'll make. There's a scene on Tatooine, and every time they show a different planet, there's like a tourist sign, like a billboard. Actually, there's one on Kamino that says, Kamino, stay for the weather.
Come for the clones, stay for the weather.
Stay for the weather, yes. Because it's always raining. Okay. Well, and the last one. Yoda, they arrive on, they fall out of their ship from orbit, Mace Windu and Yoda, and land on Dagobah. There's a sign on Dagobah that says, a nice place to live it is. funny times.
All right, what about the mysterious all of a sudden appearance of Admiral Akbar after Yoda screams, it's a trap, and he's like, well said!
He says, duh. That's what I'm saying. Of course, Admiral Akbar or just like a stand-in Mon Calamari could be there because it's zany, slapsticky Lego. We can totally do that. As opposed to in the Clone Wars, he would actually show up in an episode along with every other friggin' character that they could pull out of the cast of characters to appear in an episode.
You know, it's almost like animated Spaceballs, and for that, I'll give it credit, and I won't hate. But Clone Wars,
great way to put it.
Fuck yes. Clone Wars, because Clone Wars is basically like Episode One. It can rot in space for all I give a shit.
Exactly, and that is a great way to put it, as Brian was saying. It's, you can have fun with this for what it is and not be expected to accept it as part of Star Wars lore, whereas Clone Wars is like halfway between real Star Wars and this, and you're expected to actually believe that Anakin palled around with a Padawan who he called Snips and who called him Sky Guy, and I cannot accept that.
Right.
So, I'm hoping Disney recognizes that going forward, and that we see, I wouldn't mind more goofiness along the lines of Lego Star Wars sanctioned by Disney if it's marketed and cordoned off as such. And I wouldn't mind serious fare, hopefully in the form of the new Star Wars Rebel show coming down the pike, supposedly. And I have hope that that could be delivered based on the next show we're going to talk about, which is Tron Uprising, a Disney animated show, which is serious and awesome, and I think, at least in the first few episodes I watched, I haven't watched the whole series, I can accept as having taken place in the Tron universe.
Dude, I accept this Tron Uprising. I like it better than the second movie.
I was thinking the same. I didn't want to say it.
And I don't dislike Tron 2.0, whatever it was called, the second movie. I do not dislike it whatsoever, but much like I love the original animated Clone Wars series by the guy who did Samurai Jack so much better than the prequel movies, the same thing with this Tron Uprising. This was one of the shows I tried to catch it when it first came out, but A, I hate commercials on TV, and I would find myself flicking and I'd never go back. I was going to buy the DVDs. That didn't happen. They kept switching the times it was on. There was always something and I missed it. So I blew up with excitement when I was finally going to be able to watch it when I wanted, how I wanted, for $7.99 a month on my beloved Netflix. And dude, I have to say that this show is the prime example of what Tron should have been after the original movie. It is fucking amazing.
Yes.
The music, the art, the story, the voice acting. I mean, I got one hang up with one character, that Zed kid. I think he's drawn a little goofy. Other than that, I'm good, man. I love it to death.
Totally concur on every point, to include the Zed kid, except that I'll put that as a mark in their favor because he's meant to be kind of an awkward, oddly shaped individual. There were times when I would pause, rewind a scene, and watch it because I was having a "did I just see that" reaction. Like, I can't believe I'm watching a made-for-television animated series of this quality. It was just amazing.
And dude, it has sucked me back into the Tron world in a way that I didn't really feel from the second movie, but I definitely did during the first movie.
Yeah, the things that got me about Tron Legacy, the new movie from a couple of years ago,
that's what it is.
It was some of the scenes, like when the tank, like, you know, when the tank vehicles would go by and you would hear that like noise that they would make.
Uh huh.
They capture that in this series, so they give me all the audio visual splendor of the movie.
Yep.
Plus a better, like, I think a better, and I didn't mind a story in the movie, but like an even better cast of characters and a better, more compelling story. Brian, do you have a differing opinion? I think that you were alluding to the fact that there might be a little bit of a side story explosion going on in this series as well as there is in the Clone Wars.
I think this is what happens when you make a cartoon and they're like, well, just make 20 episodes this season. I think it was 4 or 5 that I watched up to. And the last one was, what's his name? Beck was like walking home from work and he got mugged and like wackiness ensued. And I was just like, this could have just been cut out. This isn't promoting the story. It was still like a good episode, but it just felt extra.
It got off topic. It got off the main.
It was a parable. It was Tron and Beck learn to be friends instead of just...
Like, oh, man, this sucks. Because I'm like right at... I watched, I think, up to number 4. And so far, it's been all about, like, spread the word. The uprising will happen.
Yeah.
It's like all this fucking killer, like, gets under your skin and makes you just want to go save the world kind of shit going on. And I'm... Fingers have been crossed that it's going to stay that way, but... This seems like wackiness may ensue. I don't know.
I felt a little bit let down because everything else was so good. Like, if this had been episode 2, maybe I would have thought just, okay, that's how, you know, that's the cartoon or whatever. But 2 and 3 and 4 were so great and so on topic, I guess, that I was really surprised. And it was a little silly, like, oh, he got mugged.
Interesting.
You'd think he'd be careful being the leader of the revolution.
Right.
I hope that it doesn't. Well, the good news is we don't have to worry about them going too far afield because they canceled the show. But I hope it doesn't go too far off the rails, because unlike Clone Wars, which tries to shoehorn every just imaginable wacky side story they can into the Clone Wars time period of Star Wars, and Lego Star Wars, which is just like a zany, we go do our own thing. It's a bunch of kids in Yoda's class who have to save the day. Tron Uprising is actually set as a bridge between the original, well, Clue's ascension in the grid, when basically Flynn's, you know, in grid clone, Clue takes over, and the actual Tron Legacy movie. So I hope that that was just an anomaly, Brian, and that they stay back on track, because I could seriously watch 20 episodes of them just like revolting against Clue's rule in the grid. And paving the way for the Tron Legacy movie.
And it's weird. There's speculation as to that's why it got canceled, was because people were getting up in arms that Disney's pushing this rebel against tyranny and fight your oppressors and stand up against your parents and don't do your chores kind of shit.
The advertisers didn't like that, huh?
Apparently. I mean, that's, you know, one side of the coin, but there's definitely a bunch of theorists out there that they're swearing by that. And there's a lot to read, and it's actually pretty interesting.
I was reading about why it got canceled was equally worrisome, I think. Basically, it was mature enough that adults got interested in it, and adults don't buy cheesy toys.
Right.
They break them and buy more. So they just like, well, we missed the target audience. Fuck it.
Yeah, that was the other side of the coin I was talking about.
Yeah. Which I think... I mean, I'd rather Disney cave to pressure than, you know, want to sell extra toys or something. That's even worse.
See, that's such a weird one because of the fact it makes – that theory makes a little bit of sense, because it's almost like they threw it on the network they threw it on that has a bunch of kid and baby shows almost to deliberately sabotage it. And that would go along with that theory. But at the same time, this is the same company that just bought Star Wars. This is the same company that has also acquired Marvel. I mean, you're looking at two of the biggest markets for that same genre of, or same demographic. You know what I mean? So I don't know how much weight that one holds, but if all we have to look forward to is Rebel Babies and and Micro Marvels, I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah.
And Disney can do better than that. They proved it with Tron Uprising.
Well, they proved that they can, but then...
Right.
But won't. And that's right. What worries me, because Disney have a broad audience. You can cater, you can have Rebel Babies and Tron light tricycles and all that other crap for like little kids, and still acknowledge the fact that you have an older kid and a teen and an adult fan base that wants to consume more serious fare. And am I going to go buy, you know, the friggin' Happy Meal at McDonald's with the zip pull light cycle? No, but I might buy a Tron shirt or something, you know, or I might buy a video game.
Or figures for your desk at work.
Right, or a season pass to your park where the Tron Land still hasn't been built to my satisfaction.
I mean, look at it, dude. I mean, the movie toys sold like crazy. They sold out almost everywhere. So I find that to be a weird one. Unless it really was like, I don't know. Man, you couldn't even read the treatment for that cartoon and not know what demographic it was going to attract. There was no way it was for kids.
Yeah, I was reading similar, you know, kind of theories, and the one that you guys both now have cited about, well, this was too serious. This isn't what where Disney wanted to go. I really hope that there aren't voices within Disney who squelch things that appeal to anybody over the age of 9. Because, for crying out loud, I get it that Disney wants to appeal to kids, but they've got entire legions of fans that have grown up on their crap. And on Star Wars and on Marvel, who they shouldn't alienate.
Right. And I mean, it could just simply be like a sect of the company that's like, well, this is what we want for TV. We have nothing to say and no input on whatever movies and merchandising happen. But as far as TV goes, yeah, we're just shooting for the A to Z market or whatever.
It wasn't Disney XD, right? I mean,
yeah.
Is that a baby channel? Is that like for little kids?
It's a young channel.
Well, okay. So have a cadre of people who do nothing but create content for the Disney XD channel. By the way, I don't even know if I'd get that channel. I've never, ever watched it. Devote some resources to that, but then take Tron Legacy and park it on like Sci-Fi or one of those, or find another channel that will carry it. I mean, doesn't Disney and ABC, aren't they the same company? Put it on like some ABC-owned channel or something.
Right, right.
Just there's a place to air it, and it'll get a good reception.
But I think that's what part of the argument was in that, at least what I read, is it was on a proper channel and then it got shoved over to Disney XD. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, look how shitty it's doing. We went from 1 million viewers an episode to 300,000 viewers an episode because we changed the day, time, and stuck it on this pay cable channel that not everybody gets in their package.
So
it was almost like deliberate sabotage.
It sounds like it was. And all I can hope is that there's enough...
Dude, it could have been simply a change of hands. Somebody new was in charge and was like, no. We're focusing on...
It's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon. We don't want the half-adult demographic. We want to cater to the 4 to 9-year-old princess crowd solely.
I think there's probably something to be said for some pin-headed executives within Disney who take that it's a cartoon stance. And cartoons are for kids, this ain't for kids. And that is unfortunately not a nuanced enough stance for today's entertainment market.
Agreed.
So, with that said, what are our feelings on upcoming series, Disney's handling of upcoming like serious fare or sci-fi fare, especially the upcoming Star Wars Rebels show? Are we optimistic, pessimistic, not sure what to think based on what we've just discussed?
You know, I never had any doubt in my mind that it was going to be a serious style show like Tron Uprising, but now I don't know. And seeing the popularity of the Clone Wars when I go to Star Wars weekends and stuff, I don't know, man. It might be pushed down that road.
I hope you're wrong. I've got a friend of mine who has two kids, one who is, I think, just became a teenager, and then one who's a little guy. And the one defense he always puts up for Clone Wars is like, well, the kids like it. Kids like it. You know, it's cool for kids. Which, again, I understand. You want to make a Star Wars entertainment that kids like. But please don't also try to make that a mainline story. And I am really worried that that is where this new series is going to go. What about you, Brian? Do you share our concern?
After seeing whatever happened to Tron, yeah, I'm actually a little concerned.
Now, I'll confess, having kept my head in the sand and not done a lot of research on this Rebels show, because I don't want to get my hopes up. Have you dug up much information on it?
I haven't done a whole lot, because I basically just wanted to be more surprised than anything else, but I will now. Especially because it's coming to Disney XD.
Oh, geez, it's actually a guaranteed... I didn't know that. I thought they were going to air it on like a more mainstream... So it's not going to like Cartoon Network or something?
Apparently not. It's saying it's coming out in 2014 on XD.
God, it's disheartening. This Disney XD thing seems to be the bane of anybody past puberty, at least as it relates to being a fan of anything Disney's going to put out. Do you guys get the channel on your cable or satellite lineup at all?
Yeah, I get it.
Brian, do you get it?
I get a different cable provider every couple of weeks. Just I'm in a weird situation with that. But yeah, currently I get it.
And watching it's just nonstop child fare.
You know, they probably would have showed G.I. Joe and Transformers in its day. It's not like kids fare, but it's not, you can't have the revolution killing people for no reason shows on it, I think.
Oh man.
Well, the guy who's doing it is also the guy, one of the guys is involved, is the same guy who was doing the Clone Wars.
Wait, the original or the new one?
The new one.
Oh, so it's going to suck.
Man, that kind of bums me out. I really don't want another however many years of Clone Wars. And this one is supposed to take place after Episode 3 and before Episode 4, which is a so far unsullied period of time in galactic history. I really hate the concept of them screwing with that in ways that are going to piss me off. I'd rather just watch Disco Inferno starring Lindo and Lando Calrissian on the Millennium Falcon Dance Club. Because at least I know that's meant to be taken as like a funny joke.
I think it's funny how like you could, if you just go way over the top, then it's not as bothersome as if you just try to stay true. But fuck it up. That's way more offensive.
Right. It's the try to stay true thing that really sticks in my craw. You're trying to stay true enough while catering to 9-year-olds, and that messes things up.
Is that why it doesn't bother me that, like, when I see Goofy dressed up as Darth Vader or Stitch as the Emperor?
Yes. Yes.
Mickey is a Jedi or whatever.
Because at no point in time are they trying to sell you that mashup as though it were canon? At no point in time are they going to do basically the equivalent of a Kingdom Hearts game with Star Wars and Disney and try to sell that to you as something that happened in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
Like, side story.
Like, we're not going to see the fact that they did a quest to Space Mountain and then mysteriously entered a tear in the universe and space and time continuum while on the Space Mountain rocket vehicle, and then they ended up in this alternate universe of Star Wars.
Right. You're never going to be like watching a show where Darth Vader and the Imperial fleet are doing like maneuvers, and all of a sudden Mickey and his
gummy
his
ship.
Right, come through a time rift, and that's like sold to you as something that's not goofy. I mean, I'm getting angry just thinking of like how much people don't seem to get it.
Now, I hate to be anti-Disney at all, but I was just thinking Bugs Bunny, like classic old Bugs Bunny, always balanced two levels, because you were entertained as a kid by Bugs Bunny, but there was all kinds of stuff that your folks got that you was just way above you.
Yes.
You think Disney XD just isn't good enough to pull it off?
Well, I think it's a different... Yes. Back then, those animated shorts were made for adults. They were little trailers, so to speak, that were in front of movies. You know, they were in between news clips and stuff like that at the theater. So just like, you know, the Flintstones was a primetime TV show. It was more adult for adult and just kind of happened to end up being a Saturday morning kind of thing. And I don't see Disney trying to hit that audience at all. Maybe with their movies they do, but it just seems like a lot of it is just animated fodder that is really just to babysit children. And that's not just Disney. That's kind of anything animated these days.
I agree. And to answer your question, Brian, I mean, Disney XD and the staff running that network or running Disney's programming strategy may very well be competent enough to do it. I don't think Disney has the vision needed to make programming that works for adults and kids. I hope I'm wrong.
And no desire to get, and no desire to have it or get it or be in that space, it seems.
Correct. And I hope we're wrong. And I hope that the future of all these properties under Disney's ownership is one that is varied and stratified enough so that everybody can find a niche that appeals to them. And I really am hoping that this new Star Wars show gives me something Star Wars related to watch on TV. Because I've been waiting for that for years since I heard the rumors of years ago of the Star Trek or the Star Wars live action show that never came to be. And I really, as an adult fan, would welcome that.
Stop leaving money on the table. Let's see this shit happen.
Absolutely. Couldn't come up with better parting words than that, Rick, unless you guys have anything else you'd like to add.
I just want to say, Disney, you own ABC and you own Star Wars. Put a 90210 style unscripted real television show based on Tatooine on ABC. Basically, just give us a primetime real-life Disney show. I mean, Star Wars show.
I think it's about time for another holiday special. I mean, it's been like, what, 25 years? And no follow-up?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. We could have featuring such guests as Lady Gaga, the Black Eyed Peas, all sorts
she
of great
music. She can
do a
duet with the Honeycomb Monster.
Hey, you know what? If they had introduced Jar Jar Binks in one of those type of things, the hatred wouldn't have been there. Look at all the fanboy love 30-plus years later that Boba Fett still gets because of his appearance.
And Bea Chris... Arthur, people fucking love her.
Dead or alive.
Precisely, and Jar Jar would have been a lot more palatable if he'd been presented in that zany, goofy context, as opposed to in a context where you were supposed to take him seriously. Hey guys, this is your beloved host, Tom, interrupting tonight's regularly scheduled program ever so briefly to let you know that on next week's Nerdstravaganza podcast, we'll be featuring previous guest Brian Dalrymple of Adventure Game Store fame, who will have a lot to share with us about the Origins gaming convention from which he just returned. A little preview for next week. We're always ahead of things as far as recording here on the Nerdstravaganza podcast. But along those lines, we decided we would help Brian plug an event he's got going on in his store. So without further ado, here comes the plug. Well, now I wanted to take a second to speak with a special guest and friend of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, Brian Dalrymple, about an exciting event coming up at the Adventure Game Store.
Yeah, that's right. We're coming up next weekend, the 28th of June, here at the Adventure Game Store at 6895 Sterling Road in Davie. We are having a flea market and game auction for people to bring in the games that they don't feel like playing anymore and check out some games that other people might have. It's kind of like a game swap and flea market, kind of a swap meet and auction. And it starts at noon on Saturday the 28th. So if you've got some games that you're looking to get rid of, and if you want to check out some cool games that you can get at a really good price, come down to the Adventure Game Store Saturday the 28th, starting at noon.
Cool. We'll be there. And with that,
Lando, get us out of here.
Lando, fire up the disco ball and punch it. It's time to go. So, for you listeners so inclined, we highly recommend that before you boogie down on the Millennium Falcon's dance floor, you pop over to iTunes, subscribe to our beloved podcast, write us a favorable review, and give us 5 out of 5 Star Wars.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can head on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com where you can download the show, stream the show, rate the show, leave us a comment, send us an email, all kinds of good stuff.
And don't forget to like us on Facebook and join our group. Lots of deeper discussions for the shows go on there.
With that said, I think it is time for us to bid you a fond Star Wars farewell.
Cue the music.
In a galaxy far, far away. I can never remember if it's two longs or two fars, but either way, so long.